Welcome, welcome to our reflection today. We are so glad you could join us for this study.
Absolutely. It is always a privilege to open the Word together, especially, you know, when we are navigating what feels like an increasingly dark world.
It really is a dark world right now, and we need the light of God's Word more than ever to guide us. So today we are discussing a truly powerful Wednesday night message that was delivered by Brother Steve on May 27th, 2026.
Right. His message was titled, The Foundation of Christian Assurance.
And he anchored that entire study in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. He addressed something that, it's one of the most dreadful fears a believer can ever face.
Mm-hmm. That whispered doubt in the middle of the night about your own salvation.
Exactly. I want to speak directly to you, the listener, for a moment. Have you ever laid awake at 2 in the morning, just in a cold sweat, examining your own heart?
I think so many of us have.
Right. Just absolutely terrified that heaven might not actually be your eternal home. That sudden paralyzing fear that you aren't truly saved.
It is a heavy burden. And as Brother Steve noted, if you have felt that wave of fear, you know, you are in good company.
You really are.
It is a remarkably common experience, even among the most faithful members of the church. We are frail and we are prone to doubt.
Which is exactly why God provides us with a foundation of peace in Scripture. But, before we can really find comfort in that text, we first have to examine why we experience these doubts in the first place.
That is such an important point, because it isn't always just a simple lack of faith.
Right. People assume it's just weak faith.
Exactly. But Brother Steve pointed out that the phrase before him in 1 John 3.11, well, it introduces the reality of standing in the intimidating presence of an absolutely holy God.
Because we are born again, meaning we pursue righteousness, but we still struggle with sin in our flesh.
We do.
Daily. And when you place our lingering imperfections next to God's perfect, unblemished righteousness, our failures are naturally highlighted.
They are magnified. And you see this pattern constantly with the biblical heavyweights. When they encountered God, they weren't filled with pride or self-assurance.
My goodness, no. They were traumatized.
They really were. I mean, the prophet Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone," the very moment he saw the Lord in the temple.
And Ezekiel fell flat on his face.
Right. And it happens throughout the New Testament, too. When the apostle Peter recognized the divine power of Christ, his reflex was to drop down and beg, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord."
Even the apostle John. The very man who wrote the epistle we are studying today, He fell as though dead when he witnessed the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1. He experienced that same terrifying awe on the Mount of Transfiguration.
So it is a perfectly normal, appropriate human reaction to be overwhelmed when you are confronted with the pure holiness of the Creator.
I was thinking about this, and think of it like this. Imagine you are stepping into a vast, pitch-black room, and you are wearing a garment that you believe is, you know, relatively clean. But then this immense blinding spotlight is turned directly upon you.
Oh, that is a sobering thought.
Right. That light is the absolute holiness of God. And the closer you draw to that pure light, the more vividly you see every single speck of dust.
Every lingering stain.
Exactly. Every frayed thread on your own clothes.
Yeah.
The light does not create the dirt, of course. It exposes it completely.
And naturally, when a light hits you like that, the reflex to cover up, to hide, or to just be terrified of what is being exposed, it breeds a sense of unworthiness.
It really does. So the question we have to answer is, how can we possibly stand before him with any confidence? How do we survive that spotlight?
Well, the answer lies in the specific inspired words the Apostle John uses. Brother Steve highlighted two vital Greek words from 1 John 3.19 that reframe everything.
Right. Let's look at those. The first one is genushko, which translates to know.
Correct. The text says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." And the grammar here is so important. It is a future tense verb.
Meaning it's a process.
Exactly. It means to learn, to discover, or to realize. It is not some blind, intuitive gut feeling that just washes over you instantly.
It's an objective truth.
Amen. It is a truth we must actively seek out and learn that we are, quote, of the truth.
We have to root our lives in that discovery. And the second word is patheu, which is translated as assure or persuade.
We shall assure our hearts before him.
Right. And Brother Steve shared the definition of this word from Thayer's lexicon, and it is truly remarkable. It literally means to tranquilize.
It passed out.
To soothe the alarmed conscience. What a blessing that is.
Praise God for that. He actively desires to soothe our troubled hearts. Even as we stand in that exposing spotlight of his presence, His goal is to tranquilize the alarmed conscience.
That brings so much peace.
It does, and we can connect this directly to 1 John 5.13, where the apostle states his entire mission for writing these marks of a true believer.
What does he say there?
He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life."
That you may know.
Exactly. God actively desires to quiet our spiritual panic. He wants us to have absolute certainty.
So, if God's word makes it that abundantly clear that he offers this tranquil assurance, why is it so hard for us to grasp?
That is the tragedy of church history, really.
It is. We have to look at how certain man-made religious traditions have historically weaponized fear. They have actively fought against this biblical assurance.
They absolutely have. Brother Steve gave a brilliant breakdown of doctrines that deny the believer's right to assurance.
Starting with the Roman Catholic Church.
Right. During the Counter-Reformation, the Council of Trent officially decreed that no one can know with certainty that they have obtained saving grace.
To them, the concept of assurance is literally considered a heresy.
A Protestant heresy, yes. They actually pronounced anyone claiming absolute assurance of their salvation to be anathema.
Which means cursed.
Sure.
Cursed by the church.
Exactly. Their reasoning is that if a person possesses absolute assurance of heaven, they believe that person will become careless about sin.
That they will just stop striving to be holy.
Right. So to prevent this supposed carelessness, they rely on a complex system of 7 sacraments to keep people continually working for it.
It's a treadmill. You have baptism to wash away original sin, the Eucharist, penance.
All designed to dispense grace incrementally. When you sin, your grace is depleted, and you have to go back to the priest for reconciliation to get it topped off.
It mechanically ensures you can never truly rest. You can never say, "It is finished."
Which keeps the heart perpetually alarmed, never tranquilized.
But this denial of assurance isn't exclusive to Catholicism, is it?
No, not at all. It is highly prevalent in Arminianism, or the Wesleyan tradition, named after the Dutch theologian Jacob Arminius.
Right, and they teach that salvation can actually be lost.
Exactly. They believe you can never be truly assured because a future stumble or a severe season of sin could cause you to forfeit your place in heaven.
Which means your eternal destiny relies entirely on your own daily performance.
It puts the believer right back into a state of anxiety.
I have to push back on these anxiety-inducing frameworks. I want to ask you, the listener, a poignant question. Doesn't a theology that forces you to constantly work to keep your salvation fundamentally undermine the cross of Christ?
It absolutely does.
I mean, think about marriage. It's like living in a marriage where you wake up every single day terrified your spouse will evict you from your home if you make a mistake.
Oh, that is a powerful analogy.
If you burn the dinner or speak an unkind word, you are out on the street.
Right.
That isn't grace. That is a hostage situation.
That is exactly what it is. A hostage situation. It breeds fearful compliance, not genuine love.
Right. True grace means the covenant is secure.
So having stripped away those man-made teachings of fear, we return to the pure scripture. And we find that God doesn't just allow assurance as some optional comfort.
He commands it.
He commands it. It is the very fuel we need to serve him faithfully in today's dark world.
Let's look at Hebrews 6.11. The writer tells us to show diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end.
And 2 Peter 1.10 instructs us to make our call and election sure.
These are direct mandates. We are supposed to be fully persuaded.
Which brings up Brother Steve's very practical point. What does God actually gain from fearful, depressed, and despairing Christians?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing but misery.
Right. He receives weak praise and a poor testimony. We cannot truly deny ourselves and take up our cross if we suspect God might abandon us halfway down the road.
You won't charge the hill if you think your commander is going to shoot you in the back.
Exactly. And this connects directly to our listener's walk in today's dark world. Our praise is directly tied to the eternality of God's gift.
When we are entirely certain that his love is permanent, our passion and our service are fully unleashed.
Our commitment is rooted in gratitude, not fear.
Which is so much stronger. True Christian assurance, it isn't sinful presumption.
No, certainly not.
It is simply resting confidently in the inscripturated and incarnate truth of Jesus Christ. It is allowing his promise to tranquilize our hearts before a holy God.
Taking God at his word.
Amen. As we wrap up our study today, we want to leave you with a challenging, encouraging thought to carry forward.
A final reflection for the week?
Right. Think about this. If your heart was perfectly and completely tranquilized regarding your eternal destiny today, how would that unshakable confidence change the way you boldly stand for truth in your workplace, your home, or your community tomorrow.
What a profound question to dwell on. If the fear is gone, the boldness can truly emerge.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for this reflection. May the peace of Christ guard your hearts and minds, and may you rest in his unshakable assurance this week. God bless you.